Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Achitpa Ganda Malaya Jay Achitpa Ganda Malaya Payasa Snapayed Vibhum Vastro Bhavita Bharana Padyupa Pasparshanais Tata Ganda Dupa Dibish Chachet Dvadashakshara Dvadashakshara Vidyaya Achitva Gandha Malad Yai Payasap Snapayet Vipum. Vastropa Vitta Bahrana Padyopas Parshanais Tataha Ganda Dupa Dibischachet Dvadasaksara Vidyaya. Chant. Please chant. Achitva Ganda Malaya Jaye. Payasa Snapayet Vibhum. Padyupa Sparshana. Padyupa Sparshana Stata. Ganda Dupa Dibischachet Dvadasaksara Vidyaya. Achitva Ganda Malaya Jaya. Aspashanastata Kandadupa is Chuche Kandasaksara. Churches.
Anyone else? Somebody in the back want to chant? Ladies, Achitpa, worshiping in this way, Ganda, Malya, Adyay, with incense, flower garlands, and so on. Payasa, with milk. Snapayet, should bathe. Vibhum, the Lord. Vastra, dress. Upavita, sacred thread. Abharana, ornaments. Padya, water. For washing the lotus feet. Upasparshanai, touching. Tata, thereafter. Gandha, fragrance. Dupa, incense. Adibi, with all of these, child, and Arjet should worship Dvadasa Akshara Vidyaya with the mantra of 12 syllables. Translation and purport. In the beginning, the devotee should chant the Dvadashakshara mantra and offer flower garlands, incense, and so on. After worshipping the Lord in this way, one should bathe the Lord with milk and dress him with proper ornaments, a sacred thread. And dress him with proper garments, a sacred thread, and ornaments. After offering water to wash the Lord's feet, one should again worship the Lord with fragrant flowers, incense, and other paraphernalia. So please repeat, and you can visualize doing this. Just visualize yourself doing this. In the beginning, the devotee should chant the Dvadashakshara mantra and offer flower garlands, incense, and so on. After worshipping the Lord in this way, one should bathe the Lord with milk and dress him with proper garments, a sacred thread, and ornaments. After offering water to wash the Lord's feet, one should again worship the Lord with fragrant flowers, incense, and other paraphernalia. Purport. The Dvadashakshara mantra is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. While worshipping the Lord, while worshipping the deity, one should ring a bell with his left hand and offer padya, aragya, vastra, ganda, mala, abharana, bhushana, and so on. In this way, one should bathe the Lord with milk, dress him, and again worship him with all paraphernalia. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauramani Charane Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschyata Deshatarane Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshushun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manu Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utparkamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnamamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savarutam Purjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Scham Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagratpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastite Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishpadi Vishvanu Suta Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Architva Ganda Magyadhyay Payasa Napayed Vibhum Vastu Pavit Padyopas Parshanas Tata Ganda Dupa Dibis Chachet Dada Saksara Vidyaya So there are many items and this goes on, this process of worship goes on daily. Sri Vigrahara Dana Nityanana Shingara Tan Mandira Marjanaro Yuktasya Bhaktan Strani Yunjitu Mande Guru Sri Charanaraminda. Aditi is learning from her husband, Kashyapa, how to do this. And we're learning. Kashyapa learned from Brahma. He taught his wife. She's highly elevated. The Lord is going to become her mother, her son. She's going to become the mother of the Lord. And in parampara, this is the process of worshipping. Srila Rupa Goswami compiled the nectar of devotion under the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so that we could learn the process. Sanatan Goswami compiled the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Because the intention of the Lord, this is the intention of the Lord, and Rupa Goswami wants to establish what is on the mind of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale. Srila Rupa Goswami wants to serve the purpose of the Lord. The Lord wants to be worshipped. But that worship is for the benefit of the conditioned soul, the benefit of the devotee. In the case of Aditi, the benefit that she describes is she wants the Lord to help her conquer the family's rivals. The demons have acted as rivals of Aditi, Kashyapa, and her sons. So she's asking the Lord to help. This is the pattern that's played out many times within the narrations of the Bhagavatam. The demigods are in distress. They approach the Lord for relief. So that's a certain level of Krishna consciousness. Krishna says that pious souls approach the Lord for relief from distress. But this is not to be denigrated. We shouldn't think there's something wrong with that. It's actually okay. It's not the highest pure devotion. But in the case of Aditi, it's very high. She becomes the mother of the Lord. Now, on our level, how can we apply this kind of knowledge? Well, we act under the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara, and we worship the deity. This morning I was passing a devotee who was dressed for puja, and I said, "Who did you dress this morning?" And he surprised me by saying that he dressed four of the large deities. He dressed Vishakha and Lalita, and he dressed Sitaram. So of course this goes on when the altar doors are closed. We're not even, if we're here in the temple hall, we're not seeing this. We're not doing that. But there's some men back there who are busily doing all of this. Worshipping with incense, with flower garlands, with milk, pouring milk, bathing the Lord, dressing, offering Krishna the sacred thread. The sacred thread comes off when the bathing takes place and it's replaced afterward. Ornaments, beautiful ornaments are offered like that. Touching the lotus feet of the Lord, washing the lotus feet of the Lord. The pujari gets to do all of this. Offering fragrant things and chanting mantras, ringing the bell. Here it said, you ring the bell with your left with your left hand. But there's a right and wrong way to ring the bell with your left hand. So, what's the correct way to ring the bell? You have to look in the book if you want to know, or you have to hear how to ring the bell with your left hand. Otherwise, you'll do it wrong. So there's so much to learn. What's the correct way? Bhima was doing it correctly this morning. The recommendation is that in ringing the bell, you have the bell above your waist. You don't ring it below your waist with your arm extended down. One pujari is nodding. Yes, he knows. So there's a book about that. There's a deity worship manual. And of course, the object of the worship, this is extremely important. The word vibhum in this verse means the Lord. Vasudev means the Lord. This is very important. The worshiper actually wants to concentrate completely on the worshipful object. He's happy if he forgets all about his mundane bodily identity. There's actually some prayer in the deity worship manual. You recite this prayer before you do puja. You ask the Lord, please let me engage in the service without contamination of my material senses. I don't want my materially contaminated senses and mind to be involved in this worship. Let me just leave them behind before I go on the altar. Let me go on the altar with my purified senses. One of the definitions of bhakti, Rishikena, Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. The Lord of the senses should be worshipped by engaging our senses. Rishikena, Sevanam Nambhakti Uchite. Beginning with the tongue. Now, the deity worship is not just done on the altar. Prabhupada explained that kirtan and hearing are also part of the deity worship. So, when the devotees are dancing to the rhythm, to the melody, they have this feeling when they're dancing, oh, this chanting is so nice. I'm chanting for the Lord. I'm dancing for the Lord. My senses are engaged in this way. Another way that we engage in this kind of practice ourselves, the same kind of practice that Aditi engaged in, is we recite the mantras and the prayers that the great devotees have said. Srila Prabhupada recommends that we can compose prayers, we can compose our own prayers, but he really recommends recite the prayers offered by the devotees. Recite the prayers that are found in the Bhagavatam and so on. Why does he say that? Because the descriptions of the Lord in these prayers are so accurate. They give us a focused idea, we can visualize clearly what the qualities of the Supreme Self are by reading some of these prayers. The Lord is in our heart, but we don't see Him very easily. We're not trained to perfection. to see the super soul. We're just learning how to see the Lord. Mostly we see by hearing. So hearing the prayers and reciting the prayers helps us see. There's a new book that contains all the prayers from the Bhagavad Purana. I was showing this to Bhima yesterday. He had not seen it yet. A devotee named Sarva Sakshi in northern India compiled the prayers. So I'll read three of the prayers that Aditi offers in the next chapter. In chapter 17. That's entitled, The Lord Agrees to Become Aditi's Son. So, here are some prayers by Aditi. If you want to follow, it's 17, chapter 17, canto 8, verses 8 through 10, starting with verse 8. The goddess Aditi said, O master and enjoyer of all sacrificial ceremonies. Please repeat. Repeat. O master and enjoyer of all sacrificial ceremonies. O infallible and most famous person, whose name when chanted spreads all good fortune. O original supreme personality of Godhead, supreme controller, shelter of all holy places. You are the shelter of all poor, suffering, living entities. And you have appeared to diminish their suffering. Please be kind to us and spread our good fortune. So she's praying in a particular context, but how does it apply? Does it apply all the time to everyone? It sounds like it applies to us. The Lord is the shelter of all suffering living entities, and He appears to diminish their suffering. Please be kind to us. We have the same problems as Aditi. In one form or another, now. Next verse. My Lord, you are the all-pervading universal form. The fully independent creator. Maintainer and destroyer of this universe. Although you engage your energy in matter, you are always situated in your original form and never fall from that position. Because your knowledge is infallible and always suitable to any situation. You're never bewildered by illusion. Oh my Lord, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Oh unlimited one, if your Lordship is satisfied, one can very easily obtain a lifetime as long as that of Lord Brahma. A body, either in the upper, lower, or middle planetary systems. One can obtain unlimited material opulence. Religion, economic development, and satisfaction of the senses. Full transcendental knowledge. And the 8 yogic perfections. What to speak of such petty achievements as conquering one's rivals. So Aditi is aware that her motive is what she calls petty, not such an important thing. But you can understand how learned she is by hearing how she addresses the Lord. The Lord actually wants this exchange with the suffering living entities. He draws near to a devotee who's making an offering to him. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati taraham bhakti paritam ashnami prayatatmana. You just offer Krishna some flour, something that you're preparing for him to eat. And he says, I draw near to the devotee when this happens. He accepts this. If the devotee's offering with bhakti, offering with the heart. So this is an attractive offering that the Lord is making. The Lord is making this offering. You know, you do this and I will come close to you. So this attracts us to devotional service. This possibility of the Lord being accessible in this way. When I was first going to the devotees' sanghas and hearing about this and watching the devotees, I was observing how they prepared something in the kitchen and then they put it on the altar. And of course they encouraged that you can do this at home. So I started to offer, you know, I wasn't initiated. I just had some granola and some hot milk. But I wanted to offer this to Krishna. So I started to do this. So this is the relationship that we can have with Vasudev. I'll just end with an explanation of Vasudev. This is, of course, a name of Krishna. Means the son of Vasudev. But you can break it down into the two parts, Vasu and Deva. The word Vasu means the soul of the universe. The supreme soul of the universe. When I was becoming a devotee, I heard this idea. In the first Bhagavatam class I attended, it was the verse about watering the root of the tree. If you pour water on the root of the tree, all the parts of the tree are watered. So again, the idea that the soul of the universe is accessible through devotional service. You just serve the root of all existence. Then everything in existence is nourished. You don't have to endeavor separately. You may think I have obligations to my family, my country, my society, but you can satisfy all those, meet all those obligations by serving the Vasudev, the soul of the universe. And then Deva means divinity. Of course, divinity is understood. But it also has other meanings. Deva means also sport or play or pastime, huh? What's the meaning of deva? Sport or play. Wow, very good. Sometimes we can listen with our eyes closed. There was a great devotee named Jayananda in San Francisco. I joined the temple in San Francisco. And Jayananda would listen to the Bhagavatam class with his eyes closed the whole time. But he wasn't sleeping. And he proved it later in the day. He would take us on Harinam. He was in charge of the Harinam party. And then after we chanted a little bit, sometimes we would have a short break and we would read a little bit. And Jayananda would speak a few words to inspire us. And he always quoted something that was said in the class in the morning. He would say, just like the speaker said in the class this morning. And he would tell. So that's not so easy. You ask your friend. Ask a friend today, like around 11 o'clock or 1 o'clock. Ask your friend, what did he say in the Bhagavatam class today? See if your friend can remember. So sport or play. Deva means sport or play. Thus the name for Krishna, Vasudeva, can mean the divine play of the soul of the universe. The divine sporting of the Lord of the universe. It also means completely pure existence. Completely pure existence. And it's an abbreviation for a person who's beyond prakriti, beyond primordial nature, beyond the qualities of nature, the gunas. Vasudeva, the father of Krishna, he's in completely pure existence. Therefore, he connects with the soul of the universe. The soul of the universe can enter the mind of Vasudeva because he's in completely pure existence. So in the Bhagavad Gita, this word is used, Vasudeva. Vasudeva is everything. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanamam mam prapadyate. Vasudeva sarvam iti. Vasudeva sarvam iti. Somebody who can exclaim Vasudeva sarvam iti. And he's saying, the Lord, the divinity is everywhere. Like Prahlad Maharaj, he could see the Lord everywhere. And Prabhupada asked us to do that also, to train ourselves that way. So this kind of a person is a rare soul. Once I was sitting in a garden with Srila Prabhupada, and it was evening. So the sky, we were under the sky. And Prabhupada was explaining that the air is Krishna, the sky is Krishna, the sunlight is Krishna, the water is Krishna, the earth is Krishna. And he said, you develop your Krishna consciousness seen like this. And gradually, step by step, not all at once, but gradually you'll develop your love for Krishna. Just like in ordinary dealings, our love for a person is developed gradually. Starts maybe with a smile. You smile to another person and they smile back. And then there's some friendly words and, you know, gradually you get to know. What is the person's name? What does he do? You can ask so many questions and find out. And then Prabhupada said the ultimate step is surrender to Krishna. So we began the class by talking about how this process of deity worship comes in parampara. The acharyas establish it and they teach it to others. Prabhupada once was in the Toronto temple in the summer of 1975. And I was there. And at the Sunday feast,
you
There were many Indian guests. Indians had come to Toronto.
Why?
Prabhupada said, you've come to Toronto, now you have good salaries. You have nice flats. You have expensive cars. But if you forget Krishna, if you don't offer your food to Krishna, then in your next life, you will become a cockroach in your car. So this is the business of the parampara. A spiritual master wants to teach people, don't forget Krishna. Remember Krishna. Any questions?
Thank you for a very beautiful and educational class, Dr. Prabhu. I have two questions. The first question is, Aditi was born and raised in Vedic culture, if I understand it correctly. Aditi was born and raised.
Born and raised, yeah.
In Vedic culture. And she was already married. And in household life. So how is it that she didn't know how to do an arti? And had to be instructed in the most basic elements of an arti? That's my first question.
Well, we could say, okay, we've been born and raised in ISKCON, okay? We've been in ISKCON for 40 years. Now, there was once a pujari in Zurich, in Switzerland. He was teasing another devotee because this devotee didn't pay any attention to deity worship, but the pujari was always doing it. And he wanted to teach this devotee a little lesson. So he said to the devotee, Gaura Lila, if Krishna comes to you, what's the first thing that you'll do? What do you do first when Krishna is present? So he was testing whether this devotee had any knowledge of puja. What do you do when you have the Lord right before you? So Gaura Lila didn't know. And the pujari then said, well, first you offer this liquid for bathing the Lord's lotus feet. This is the first thing. You bathe the Lord's lotus feet with something. So we could ask ourselves, you know, okay, I don't do much deity worship. Do I know these things? Do I have experience? I don't have very much experience of doing this puja. So it's possible that someone may be in the culture but not be trained yet. Okay? Is that satisfying?
Not exactly, because, you know, she's raised, her parents are Vaishnavas, that they would teach their daughter, it would seem, appear to me. These things from her very early childhood.
Very what?
It would seem to me that her parents, grandmother, extended family would have taught her from her early childhood these basics of worship, puja.
Yeah, I've seen grandmothers who worship deities. In West Bengal, I visited a home and the grandmother was doing the Mangal Arti to Jagannath, Subhadra and Balaram. Maybe sometimes girls don't do it. Maybe girls don't do it. You know, in India, Srila Prabhupada said that I've taught the girls in ISKCON, Prabhupada said, I've taught the ladies in ISKCON how to do the deity worship. But if the ladies do the deity worship in the temples in India, people will be kind of surprised that ladies are on the altar doing all the artiks and so on, because that's not so common. Maybe in the home it's more common.
My second question is, You said that you perform the artik from the heart.
Bhakti. I said bhakti is an offering from the heart. Bhakti is an offering from the heart.
But for neophyte like myself, for example, I'm just, acting as if. In other words, I don't know how to make my heart be loving. I don't know how to do that. I just know how to do what I'm told to do with my body. And then I hope that bhakti will arise in due course of time. Mm-hmm. And so many times I hear, you got to chant Hare Krishna from your heart. You have to offer, incense and flowers and water from your heart. I'm going, how do they do that? I don't understand the shoulds. Shoulda, woulda, couldas. I'm just doing what I was told to do.
Right.
If bhakti arises, that's part of the science of Krishna consciousness, as far as I understand it. You do something and eventually you get the result.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm still waiting for that result, but...
Yes.
What to do?
Well, this is... In the story that we're reading about Aditi, in her heart, she's very concerned about her family members. And she's worshiping the Lord so that the Lord will do something to the rivals of the family. The Lord will destroy the rivals of the family. So she has what we could say is a desire, kama. Kama is the word for desire. And... we all have kama. And Krishna says that all of us, any person, has to give up selfish desire. Because this is just arising from the mind. When a person gives up all selfish desires, arising from the mind, O Partha, satisfied within the self, satisfied by the self alone, then that person is said to be established in profound knowledge. So we hear these things from the Bhagavad Gita that we're not the body and how to be established in that knowledge, in that profound knowledge is a very serious question. And we always have to return to this question and ask ourselves, am I giving up all my selfish desires that arise from the mind? Or am I on the mental platform? Am I just on the mental platform? Am I living up to the profound knowledge that I'm being taught? Am I interested in satisfying the senses of Krishna? Have I transcended the mind and the intelligence and the ego? So this is an endeavor that we have to constantly make. Krishna teaches so much about this. He says the kama is the enemy. Selfish desire induces a person to remain entangled in the world. And the purpose of this knowledge is to get us free from the bondage of this world. So it's an ongoing battle. It's an ongoing struggle. The selfish desire obscures the knowledge. We're supposed to have profound knowledge of the spirit soul. And Krishna. Krishna is Satchidananda. Krishna is without any material contamination or limitation like us. His body is not temporary. His body is full of knowledge and bliss and eternal, and we're eternal, but because we're identifying with the body, we're thinking we are going to die, we are going to get sick, we're going to get old. But actually none of that happens to us. So to come to that blissful platform of transcendental knowledge, it's an ongoing we have to make a constant endeavor against our constant enemy. So it's just a regular feature of our life. And that's also expression of bhakti. If we're aware of our own ignorance, aware of our limitation, and we accept that, okay, even though I'm like this, I have to do something about it, then that's devotional service. Okay, good. Here's another question here.
I would like to comment on his two questions. The first question which he asked, that Aditi born in the family where she ought to have learned all the upacharas from the young age, but Narasinghananda Prabhu has to understand that the daughter which takes birth in the father's family has to transcend and go to the father-in-law's house, and the girl has to perpetually learn certain family etiquettes or family procedures. And here when she comes, she cannot say that I know everything from my family, so I don't have to learn anything from you. So that is a perpetual understanding of that girl who goes from a father's house to other house, and she being a devotee, and any devotee who wants to learn cannot defy who is teaching us at any time. He feels he is always neophyte, or she feels she is always neophyte. So that's why the learning which is coming from the sages have to be learned in a very thinking ourselves, we are always neophyte. And second thing is about our heart. Yes, we are in the material world, we are influenced and engrossed in our sense gratification all the time, sometimes subtle way, gross way, and intellectual way. So that's why we have to keep always ourselves in the association of such devotees who are Paramahansas, who can always help us to come out of that illusion which may influence us at any time while we may be in the material world executing those processes of devotional service. But if there is somebody higher up, that's why Srila Prabhupada established a system in ISKCON. When there is a new bhakta, then there is a department head, then there is a vice president, then there is a president, then is there zonal secretary, that is GBC, then there is guru. At any time, if you go astray, they can put you onto the path of divinity in an absolute way. So that's why we have to see that we all follow our curriculum very, very nicely. And when you follow the curriculum, you will transcend these things. Because Prabhupada often said, as long as you keep on sticking yourself to the tree, you will become ripe and you will be palatable for others to be.
Thank you, sir. I'll just mention Jayananda again. You know, I was in the San Francisco temple. Jayananda was the leader of the Harinam, and he was constructing the Rath Yatra carts, and I was a new bhakta. And at one time I wanted to go home. I just thought, I want a break, I want to go. And Jayananda found out about it. So he took me under the arms from behind. He had me under the arms, and somebody else took my legs. And he said, no, you're not going home, you're coming with us. So they'll drag you, devotees will drag you back into devotional service. One more question here, Lalit.
Thank you for wonderful class, Prabhuji. I have one question. You mentioned in the class that famous sloka of Bhagavatam, that if we water at the root, the entire tree is satisfied. Similarly, if we serve Krishna, then whole world will be satisfied. But at the same time, we hear that we find that it's very difficult to please everyone. And it's...
Speak slower.
Yeah. At the same time, we find that it is very difficult to please everyone. And even in case of pure devotees also we see that there are some opposition from anti-elements or like that. So how to understand that if by serving Krishna everyone is satisfied?
How can we understand that by watering the root of the tree we satisfy everyone when we see that even in the case of pure devotees, enemies of the pure devotees are not satisfied by the performance of the person's devotional service. So what to speak of our devotional service, it doesn't always please everyone. Some people are still dissatisfied. Well, these people, I mean, it's their problem. You know, they remain dissatisfied. That's their mentality. They want to stay in that mentality of turning away from the Lord. So there'll always be people like that. But, you know, even they can be purified. They can be reformed also eventually. It's not a permanent condition. Even Hiranyakasipu, he wasn't pleased at all with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. He said, what is this? I'll kill you. I threaten you. Threatened again and again, Prahlad. But eventually he was delivered. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Glorious to Srila Prabhupada.